In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday and Father's Day, and we walk through these doors after a week of intense confrontation surrounding our national life and governance. Many are afraid, and many are angry. And whatever our partisan persuasion, we're seeking answers about how to move forward with integrity. The through line on all of these occasions and questions and experiences is relationship. We've been reminded in so many ways of how we are all globally interconnected. We've seen how relationships can be life-giving or how they can betray and wound and fracture. We can speak of this in relation to our country and in relation to our families. Today, some of us can give thanks for the love and care of our fathers and grandfathers and uncles and father figures. And for others, we face a more complex or poignant kind of day, depending on what our stories are. And God can hold all of the pain and all of the joy of this. At the risk of stating the obvious, relationships in our national life are fraught with complexity. We know this. The work of justice is hard. And the work of mercy is hard. Because like it or not, our lives and our journeys and our stories impact each other in ways that we can't grasp until we are in the situation. We are inescapably relational people. In this, we reflect the God who created us, whose basic character is defined as relational. Throughout Scripture, God is always reaching out to us, seeking to communicate and connect. God is almost embarrassingly passionate about doing this. And in the New Testament, God is defined in these mysterious terms of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a mystery that people have tried to grasp for millennia. And my favorite description of the Trinity comes in the simple words of one writer who says, "In the beginning was the relationship." There's a well-known icon of the Trinity by Andre Rublev, and that was what was by the door today, if you have this. Take a look at it. Richard Rohr has written a beautiful reflection about it that I invite you to consider as you look at this image. So I'll read his words. "The icon shows the Holy One in the form of three, eating and drinking, in infinite hospitality and utter enjoyment between themselves. The gaze between the three shows the deep respect between them as they all share from a common bowl. Notice that on the right, the Spirit's hand points towards the open and fourth place at the table. Is the Holy Spirit inviting, offering, and clearing space? I think so. And if so, for what? For whom? It's stunning when you think about it. There was room at this table for a fourth, for the observer, for you. The defining characteristics of God as Trinity are love and welcome and care for us individually and collectively. Jesus' words for his disciples in today's reading from John's Gospel also come from a place of profound care. They fall just prior to his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus warns his disciples that hard things are coming, not only in terms of his own crucifixion, but also in terms of what they will experience in the future. And Jesus knows that the disciples won't hear him in this moment. A few minutes after this conversation, they literally say, "We don't know what he's talking about." They don't clearly understand what is to come. All they know is that things are rapidly changing and that their relationship with Jesus is changing. The world around them is fluid and fraught and spinning out of control as events lead to the cross. And they are afraid in the midst of it all, and they don't understand. Jesus offers his disciples encouragement by describing ways that God's relational Trinitarian action in the world can outpace the turmoil. He holds out hope that the love of God will continue to be an active force in their lives. God is creatively meeting them afresh by sending the Spirit, the advocate and companion, to them. He knows that they cannot bear this now. They can't carry it. They can't apprehend it. But the Spirit will come, the one who has been entrusted with all that Jesus has said and done. Jesus describes the loving action of the Trinity as a way of comforting and assuring his disciples that they will not be in this alone. It's a reassurance that the disciples will not get lost in uncertainty. And the love of the Trinity and the work of the Spirit will continue to communicate and console and convict and strengthen and draw them in, only to send them out into the world to embody a grace that is not their own. This is the hope that is our ballast as well. It informs all that we do when we celebrate communion and share bread and wine together. Every time we come to God's table to receive the Eucharist, it's a reminder that the Trinitarian God reaches out to us with welcome. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, observes this. For Christians to share in the Eucharist, the Holy Communion, means to live as people who know that they are always guests, that they are welcomed, and that they are wanted. How would it change how we understand ourselves and others if we lived from this truth that we all are wanted and beloved and welcomed by God? Is that how you see yourself and others as you walk through your day? That's the invitation. In the midst of the storms in which we as a country find ourselves, and in the more personal storms that we bring into this space today that maybe no one else knows about, we're invited to pull up a chair at God's table, to eat so the journey does not become too much for us, to give thanks that by the grace of God we are welcomed and wanted, and by the grace of God so is everybody else. All other action in which we engage is most fruitful when it flows from this source and this conviction. Imagine being surrounded by welcoming and loving faces. Taking the environment in, feeling yourself relax and breathe more deeply. Imagine being invited to a communion with God in which you can share the concerns of your heart for the world, for your loved ones, for the future. Imagine that God wants to hear those, because it's true. For you, for me, for those who make us uncomfortable. In a world where we are surrounded by violence, our ballast to navigate it comes from allowing ourselves to be strengthened by God's love and welcome. It's a welcome that's grounded in the robust love of the Trinity and the desire of God to create and redeem and sustain rather than from anything that comes from within ourselves. We are held by a love that is so much bigger than us. When we soak ourselves in this love on a daily basis, when we marinate in it, we then can embody it in our world with strength. And we can extend it to those around us and be icons of God's Trinitarian movement of grace in the world, only because we have continually absorbed God's welcome into our own lives. We can draw upon the strength of God's love and the nourishment of God's grace as we make our way through these times. When we make a habit of internalizing the love of God, it changes us, and it changes our capacity for compassion and for hope. We are strengthened to walk through the world with a discerning and tender spirit that says no to demonization, to the addictiveness of rage, to the stickiness of righteous self-indignation. Returning to God's table can strengthen and inform how we move through this life as nothing else can, And when we first understand ourselves as wanted and welcomed, it's easier to have a welcoming spirit to those whom we struggle to love. In the beginning was the relationship. Our relationship with God is consistently described as being sustained over a meal, sometimes even over a banquet table. And so in that spirit, I invite all of us to think about what we take in and where we turn for nourishment to feed our hearts and our minds and our spirits, especially when we are tired or angry or uncertain or afraid. Whose voices shape our actions? Are they voices of welcome? Or do self-critical, angry voices prevail? We must make a discipline to be nourished by God's loving voice of welcome in our own lives. We have to make this part of our regular diet so that we have the capacity to embody this to others. We can take courage from the hope that the relentless, energetic love of the Trinity always invites us to return to the table and to be fed by grace. As we do so, our lives can be a source of hope and nourishment to others, drawing them also to God's abundant banquet.